Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas crime travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Welcome to Digging Up Dillinger. Joe Malillo, Stuart Fillmore, Todd Hiles, Travis Thompson, Mike Thompson. We're all here. Listen, we got a lot to go over. We're going to get into it. It's going to be a fun episode. But first off, we want to say, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hey.
Good evening.
Man, a lot of stuff going on.
Mike, you look great, dude. You look freaking great.
Yeah, Mike's had some camera problems the last couple of times, and so we haven't gotten to see him. So it's it's always a pleasure to see Mike.
Well, thanks, guys. It's always good to have Santa around.
Hey, listen, that's not a funny joke. So don't start joking around too much on this podcast. I just want to shout out to our YouTube followers and subscribers. We're up to about 250. Somebody, a guy named John Brown, thinks I'm not the funniest person that he's ever met or ever seen on camera, and has posted on multiple videos, Joe needs to stop trying to be funny. And so just want to make it clear, I'm not going to be funny on this episode at all. Okay?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Joe. That's my alias I've been using.
Hey, look, that's not funny. Don't joke around. This is a very serious podcast. Podcast Serious 101.
Serious Joe.
I need to stop trying so hard and it's not funny. My jokes aren't funny at all. Which is hilarious. I mean, I agree. I'm not really trying to be funny. Anyway, you guys think I'm funny. That's all I care about. I love you all. And everybody else who doesn't think I'm funny can go kick rocks.
That's the thing about this podcast, though, is we're not really trying to be anything. We're just ourselves here. And, you know, we're just talking the way that we would talk, really, whether the microphones are in front of us or not.
Yeah.
I can promise you, once the cameras are off, this is what you guys hear on the podcast is pretty much what we're talking about, the way we talk when the cameras aren't on.
Yeah, we had to come over to this new Google Meet because Todd Hiles made me do it, and I was giving him shit. So, yeah, not
trying to be... But you were being funny. You were being funny, though.
I can't get enough. Okay, we do have to shout out two things. Stuart and Todd, you guys do a lot of other stuff for true crime, and we want to shout out both of it. Case 16, Melvin Purvis. It's about Melvin Purvis. It's called The Real G-Men.
The original G-Man.
The original G-Man about Melvin Purvis. It's an episode
on the Back in Crime.
The Back in Crime podcast. So, which is right in step with what we're doing today. So we're going to get into Melvin Purvis today on this episode. And then Stuart, you are talking about JFK recently. You're like out front, bro, on some seriously cool stuff.
Yeah. A few years ago when I got into this case with Mike and Travis on Dillinger, it's an unsolved puzzle. And about a year and a half ago, I kind of started looking into the Kennedy assassination. And again, it's also a very, to me, it's an unsolved puzzle, or at least there's a lot of compelling elements to it. And so, I've just recently finished a presentation. I think we're going to have that up on YouTube as well. We recorded it, and actually we did a live stream on it, had a couple thousand folks check in with it, had an audience of about 45 or 50 people. It went really well. You know, I'm not trying to, I wouldn't say that I've solved the case, not even close. In fact, I could be wrong in every point that I've made on it. I tell you, I do raise, I think, some very compelling questions that you just can't so easily ignore out there. And, you know, I've been doing some posting on Facebook to try to get some awareness of this because, you know, there is a way that it would be controversial, but there is a way that the Kennedy case could be solved. And it's much like what the endeavor we're trying to do on Dillinger. So, Yeah. You know, so I encourage folks to check that out. Also on our Back in Crime podcast, we did a 3-part series on it, going into the same kind of details, the forensic details that we've talked about with Dillinger. So folks that are into that, I promise you the JFK stuff is, you know, it's along a similar vein.
Mike, where were you when JFK was shot?
I was in school.
I was aiming for that.
Which, grade school. Yep.
Did they send you home early that day?
You know, I think they did. Yeah. I think they let us out.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what a lot of people, I was there at that lecture that Stuart gave the other night, and that's what a lot of people said, that they remembered that, being in school, and then they let school out early that day to go home.
Yeah. We didn't get let school out for September 11th. And I was a freshman in high school. Nope. They were like, keep it going. We got football practice today.
Well, they locked us down. We had to go to the lowest part of the building because our principal said United States under attack, and all the town police showed up and circled the whole high school.
Talk about so, a little bit of
I spent that afternoon driving over to the DFW airport, where I spent the next 3 weeks in a basement room looking at flight records.
I'm sure you did, Stuart.
I was there. Rolls Royce still working.
You guys are great. Todd, thanks for bringing us these letters. So in the FBI files that we have about Dillinger, there's things about Melvin Purvis that you pulled. Tell everybody what we're looking at today.
What we're looking at is like really much the day after the of the Dillinger shooting. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of telegrams, letters just poured into the FBI and, you know, giving all these praises to Melvin Purvis. And so what I did is I just, you know, highlighted a handful of them and I'll let you read a couple of them.
Sure.
Some are from females. It's kind of interesting what they have to say about it. A lot were people that want now to be FBI agents.
Someone wrote a poem.
Yeah, someone wrote a poem about it, and it's I think as we get into this, you're going to see other nations, law enforcement, other countries wrote Melvin Purvis letters all about Dillinger. So I think you've got a copy of them there, and read them off.
Yeah, so I've got, it looks like 6 of them. We're going to go into them, and then you got 2 more that you're going to surprise us with here at the end.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
Because there's one thing we know about Stuart, he loves surprises.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
No, I like puzzles.
Yeah, you do like puzzles.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull them up for those of you watching on YouTube, including you, John Brown. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you where it's at. All right. It's right here. Okay. We're looking at them. I'm going to zoom in a little bit, too. This one is dated July 23rd, 1934. Just like you said, a day after the shooting. Dear Mr. Purvis, I'm going to go down to the highlighted section. And again, it says, these are kind of compiled, right, Todd?
Yes.
When you see the letters like this, they're not just one letter per page. It's like they put like 3 letters per page.
Right.
Dear sir, this letter is sent to you by a prospective agent of your bureau who has recently taken the examination for the position of special agent. It is sent as a congratulation to you and your staff in the capture and killing of the notorious bandit John Dillinger. I wish you continued success in your splendid work and hope to be active assistance to you in the near future. Yours very truly, Benjamin A. Raskey, attorney at law. 192 North Clark Street, Chicago.
It'd be interesting to see if he did become an agent.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, right. I thought you were going to lay that on us, Todd.
No, I didn't have access to that.
Okay, all right.
No, you know who would have access to that? Somebody probably that used to be in the
FBI. That was in the FBI?
Yeah.
So, I don't know how.
Yeah, but you guys surprised me. You know, I can't pull it just right out of my butt. You know,
You're right, surprise. July 26, 1934. Dear Mr. Purvis, congratulations on your fine work in getting John Dillinger. I hope you get the rest of his gang very soon. I have been reading about you and your men for a long time, and I'm very much interested in police work. My secret ambition is to become a federal agent of the Department of Justice. I'm 30 years of age, married, and have one child and a former police officer. As a reference, I could refer you to Captain A.G. Frisket, Lieutenant F.A. Schultz, and Sergeant W.E. McKenna of the Duluth Police Department and several businessmen of the Duluth and Superior. If you would like, if you would be kind enough to help me to get to the Department of Justice in Chicago or elsewhere, or give me information as to how I can become an agent, I would highly appreciate it. Would be highly appreciated by me. Hoping to hear from you soon. I am yours truly, John J. Novak. This guy's in Superior, Wisconsin. So these are all just people who are just like so enthralled with Purvis, they sent these letters. Is that right, Todd?
Yeah, yeah. Because I think down there, there's another one.
Yeah,
like,
here's
what is. Here. Yeah, he writes. Today I wrote. No, go back up. Right
oh,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today I wrote Mr. Hoover in regard to obtaining a position in his department. So, you know, we've talked about this before that, you know, this is such breaking news that Dillinger was shot that all these people want to now become FBI agents.
Isn't that interesting?
It's a hell of a huge recruiting
right.
tool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's not what J. Edgar have had in mind when killing Dillinger? No, I'm serious. I'm being serious.
Right.
That's not a joke. That's a serious
comment. No, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I don't think he specifically thought there would be, you know, a recruiting bonus from this, but, you know, it certainly is a byproduct of it.
I mean, the image of the FBI was so important to him for this reason. This is a byproduct of him thinking ahead. Now, as much as we, you know, talk about Hoover's ghost and screwing things up and him getting John for, you know, basically eluding him and killing him or not, whatever. The point is that Hoover was relatively ahead of his time for this kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
well, he was very ambitious. And he might have thought this out that, you know, man, if we catch Dillinger, you know, that'll make a lot of people want to come in. I think more or less it was for his own ambition to, you know, so that his position would be secured. But, you know, it certainly didn't hurt.
Yeah. Here's another one. Dear sir, my admiration, for you to perform so diligently the duties of your office, despite the flaunts of those never satisfied cranks, has instilled in me a resolution to become an agent under your leadership, regardless of the misfortune and dangers connected with it. I am totally unfamiliar with the subject to pursue or the ways and means of obtaining an application for employment in your department. Any information that I could possibly secure from you in regards to this will certainly be greatly appreciated, for the determination to become an agent far surpasses any desire I have ever had. Respectfully yours, Richard G. Flaska, 3450 West 13th Place, Chicago, Illinois. These are all these Chicago people. They're like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cool. Here's a congratulations letter. You want me to keep going, guys? Anything else? I mean, Todd?
Yeah. Well, I think, wasn't there like several PDFs that he sent from girlfriends or females?
Oh, take it easy. That one's next. Oh.
Okay. All right.
We're going getting ahead of you. Yeah. We're going in order here.
Yeah. Just hit that highlighted part on that one if you move up a little bit.
This one?
Yeah.
Dear Purvis, congratulations, young feller. You did a wonderful job of it. And I'm sure glad that things shaped themselves so that you could be in on the finish as you earned it. If anyone has ever earned anything, babyface next! ! That's pretty cool. July 30th, 1934. Yeah, from
he was pretty prescient in that, you know.
Right.
Who? What? I mean,
get babyface next.
Much obliged. Who? What? Oh yeah, babyface next. Division of Investigation, Spears, Portland, Oregon. So somebody from the Department of Investigation, Division of Investigation, under the name Spears, is that right?
Possibly, yeah.
That's what it looks like. Sure, what he's doing. Actually, you know, so one thing you'll notice is that no one is specifically using the term FBI or FBI agent, because at the time it was the Division of Investigation.
Best congratulations, July 25th, 1934. Dear Mr. Purvis, in reading the account of the courage of which you and your men tackled the problem of the capture of Dillinger, we feel that we are representative of the people of the whole nation when we write that we are grateful to you for such fortitude in the accomplishment of ridding the country of such dangerous individual. We common citizens, safe and snug in our homes, but not so safe when we know Dillinger was still alive, can only partly realize the courage it took to complete this job you have finished. Each of your men as they waited those hours before the shooting, must have had at least the suggestion of a question in their minds, would they ever see another sunrise? And we are happy to think that there were no casualties among the men who at last got Dillinger. A small thing we can do is write our appreciation, but here it is. Very sincerely yours, Mr. and Mrs. Ross Goodman from Detroit, Michigan. That's a good one.
Nice. Yeah, that's right. That's really nice.
I do love the part where he's we, the common citizens, safe and snug in our home. Like, that's funny.
People wrote much more formal, it seems, in those days.
Yeah, I don't just say, yo, what up, bro? In a text. Good job, bro. Mr. Purvis, this is from, I kind of want to tell everybody where it's from. Mrs. H. Reichenbach from Phillips, Wisconsin writes, dear Mr. Purvis, I feel that it is only the right to congratulate you on your very fine, brave work in the Dillinger case. It is a grand feeling to have to know that there are such officers like you looking after the well-being of our fellow beings and protecting us against ruthless killers. The entire country is indebted to you and your coworkers, and I hope that in the future you will be amply rewarded for your brave deed. The best wishes for your continued success in the great fight. I am truly yours. Everybody says that too. I am truly yours. Yours truly.
Yeah.
Cool. Keep going there, Todd. More of these, or should we go to the women? More.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just hit this last one right here.
Okay. Well, we have this one too. Okay. We'll do this one first. This is from Harry Bowman. No address. Dear Mr. Purvis, I want to express to you my deep gratitude for your well-planned and well-timed trap, quote-unquote, that resulted in the, quote-unquote, taking of John Dillinger, that desperado killer that has kept the United States uneasy for such a long time. You and your men faced almost certain death when Dillinger came out of the Biograph Theater that memorable July night. I am sure that Dillinger was given more of an opportunity to defend his own worthless life than he would have allowed any one of those brave men that formed his quote-unquote death trap. I regret that your informer was a woman instead of a detective whose business it is. It seems not in the scheme of things that the female plays in such a role. The fact remains that John Dillinger met his death as he would have wished it had been allowed to choose. Had he been allowed to choose. I trust that you will guard your person carefully, that none of his quote-unquote friends may try to harm you. Only men of unusual courage can be successful in your chosen line of work. With my kindest personal regards, comma, I am respectfully yours, Harry Bowman. There you go.
Yeah.
That one's good. Oh, yeah. That one's from Benton Harbor, Michigan. So that's funny. I mean, you know, they really thought he was a killer. I mean,
what's the date on that?
Yeah.
July 27th.
Okay.
Beatrice days after Nebraska.
So clearly it had been in the papers then about Anna Sage and, you know, that she had been used to set Dillinger up.
Okay, cool. All right, let's go to the women. What do you say?
All right.
If people want to email us at diggingupdillinger@gmail.com, I'll be happy to send them these PDFs of these letters. I'd be happy to, right, Todd?
Yes.
I'm only asking for your permission.
They're not my letters.
Okay, fangirl. Here we go. Now that I've been writing, I'm going to hire my voice too, okay?
Okay.
Now that I've been writing, I'm wondering if you will even remember me. Anyway, I'm one of the girls from Arkansas that you let wear your overcoat at the fair in June 1933, the day the temperature drops so suddenly. One never forgets a friend in need, you know. Here's wishing you continued success and the very best of health in the future. Yours truly, Mary Bess Smith from Norman, Oklahoma. Dropping panties over here.
Oh, wow. Man. Ooh,
look at this one. Dear Governor, this girl's from D.C., so I'm not going to do it that way. May I congratulate America's latest hero? Of course, all I know is that what I read in the papers, but all I read in the papers is that what a genius Melvin H. Purvis is. Believe me, sir, I'm plenty proud of you. Keep up the good work. I like to see your picture in the papers. By the way, pitcher is spelled P-I-T-C-H-A. Pitcher.
Pitcher.
Mary Amelia Myers. This is good, Todd. These are really funny. dear Mr. Purvis, or may I say Melvin? Question mark.
Oh, wow.
Since your heroic, successful effort in the capture of Dillinger, I have wanted to write you and congratulate you. I've hesitated, for I wonder if you remember me and my sister, Miss Garrett. I'm always interested in the friends of Henry and Margaret, and I watch and read with great deal of interest and pride in all they do. And when they succeed in such fearless and daring undertaking as you have, I feel that not too much commendation cannot be given to you. Not only your friend, but the entire nation should feel grateful to you and your men for removing such a desperado. My sister joins me in congratulations. Sincerely, Mrs. Henry B. Morrow.
Okay, that's nice.
Edward Morrow is the...
It seems like Melvin got around because all these ladies seem to have had previous encounters with him, you know?
Here's one from Indianapolis, Indiana. July 23rd, congratulations, Fred, upon your fine work. You deserve thanks of the nation. Philip J. Holtz, attorney at law. Philip Lutz, Jr., attorney from Clinton, Indiana. Excuse me. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Look at this one, Todd.
I love how it starts out.
Yeah. July 24th, 1934, from Ruth. Hello, hot stuff. Think you're pretty
hot
good. Hello, Hotshot. Think you are pretty good, don't you? Don't you is D-O-N-T-C-H-A. I couldn't forget about you if I tried. With your name and your pictures plastered all over the papers, guess there has been no end to the letters from those who knew you when, quote unquote, even I am a little chesty, quote unquote. Better... Oh my God. I'm dying laughing. Better arrange to stop by Virginia Beach when you start vacationing. The papers say you aren't so well. Might help you. How does it feel being the hero of the hour? Don't let it go to your head, but you won't, I feel sure. Ruth, Miss R. E. Dickens, Enfield, North Carolina. Undated. Dear Melvin, by the way, you haven't had your face lifted, have you? Congratulations. Now I have to brag about knowing a celebrity. Must have taken years and years of South Carolina con to put all that courage in you. Pretty swell. When you're out from under all the hullabaloo, come over and spill the lowdown to your old partners in crime. Hand claps and hand claps. Sarah Sherman from Chicago, Illinois. Hand claps and hand claps. That's cool. That's wow. like the first emoji.
Yeah.
Literally, she's doing an emoji in 1934. That's incredible.
Hey, Joe, can you go back up real quick? Sure. These are actually really good. But you mentioned a second ago there was a letter from Philip Lutz.
Yeah. Right here. Indianapolis, right here. Indiana, July 23rd.
Attorney General.
Phillips, he was the Attorney General of the state of Indiana.
Philip and a fangirl, apparently.
Philip C. Lutz Jr. was an American lawyer and politician who served as the 27th Indiana Attorney General from January 1933 to January 1937. Huh.
Hand claps to you, Stuart, for figuring that out.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And you pulled it right out of your butt.
Yeah.
Don't be funny, Joe.
I'm trying. It's hard. When you're this funny, it just comes naturally. Right, Mike? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm falling out of my chair.
I know you are.
Yeah, I think that might be the drink.
I need all the help I can get. All right. July 25th, 1934. Dear Melvin, guess I should say Mr. Purvis, but that would sound strange. And I guess I should say Mr. Purvis, since you've gone and made a great name for your sweet self. It was a great thrill when I saw you in the paper being congratulated by U.S. Attorney General and read all the details of your great merit. Believe me, I would love to shake the old palm myself and kiss you too.
Wow.
Man, you've really done some fast climbing, and I'm so proud of you for you, Melvin, for you deserve all that you are getting for the keen mind that you possess and the big thing you've done. You, of course, are surprised to hear from me, but I could have never forgotten you, even if I had never heard from you again. For you made a great impression on me as a fine fellow with much intelligence. May never see you again, but would surely love and would adore a message from you, or are you too busy? Winifred.
Good Hudson. Lord. I mean, okay, so this is
Texas. Winifred, this chick's in Texas.
From San Antonio, Texas. I mean, Melvin Purvis was, you know, he's all over the country with all these girlfriends. It's crazy.
I mean, and they're just like, it seems to be like one night stand encounters almost, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah. Hey, I know you probably won't remember me, but.
Hey, let me, I got this one here. I didn't send to you, but this is one of my favorite. Are you
go,
ready?
Go.
Dear, my dear Mr. Purvis, may I add my congratulations to the hundreds, which I know you have already. On the spur of the moment, last Friday evening, Ann and I, and again, this is written by a female. So on the spur of the moment, last Friday evening, Ann and I departed for the lake. We had a delightful time, but little did I think Sunday night as we raced in a speedboat around the lake with a beautiful and peaceful moon overhead and the air rushing in our faces that you would be out shooting public enemies. Surely that night work entitles you to a weekend of leave. And it's from Irene.
All right. Yeah.
Anderson. So she talks about being in a speedboat when he's at the theater that night.
So, I mean, not everybody had speedboats. Probably well off.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So he's picking right. those ladies as
make me scream, Irene.
Stop being funny. This is serious. All right. Dear Mr. Purvis, after reading the extra last night, I was thrilled to learn that John Dillinger had been killed. Furthermore, I thought you might like to know I consider you the greatest man in Chicago. You certainly remember Dillinger's face after seeing his photo. That's why you recognized him going into the show. And when you got him with that gun, I decided to say, congratulations, the job well done. I may be wrong, but somehow I feel that I will see you someday in a newsreel. However, may I ask a favor of you, Mr. Purvis? Will you send your picture to the undersigned, quote-unquote, miss? Thanks. Thanking you for this honor, I remain sincerely yours, Jenny Lind Both. Here's North Carolina again. Dear Melvin, please let me add mine to the millions of other congratulations and praises that you're receiving now, and rightly so. I've been following the Dillinger case in this papers each day. You have done a wonderful thing for the country by getting rid of that man. What I admire more than anything else is the way you stood there in front of the doorway and gave the sign to fire. I think if I had been in your shoes when Dillinger looked at you in the eye, I would have dissolved and merged with the night air. This is a girl up here who has reared with you, Emily Tarlin, and she and I had a great time this morning at the bridge affair saying we knew you when. I know you didn't have this highlighted, but it's still interesting.
Some more of his women out there. Wow.
I saw in one of the papers yesterday that you plan to come home on your vacation this summer. We will be in Hendersonville the rest of the summer and would be delighted to have you come up with us for a few days. We live 4 miles from the town of Echo Mountain, and it's really quite pleasant here, and I can promise you complete quiet and rest from the mention of Dillinger. If you feel like that doesn't sound true. Sounds like she'd talk his ear off about Dillinger. if you would rather, there's a diversion to be had in golf, swimming, bridge, and many other things. There are just Mrs. Garner and myself during the week, and Alex and his father over the weekend. There's plenty of room always, so don't hesitate to say so at any time if you care to come up. You're doing splendid work. Sincerely, Judith H. Gardner. He's just like, hey, come up, bro. Just come on up. Just come up and go swimming and golfing with us and play some bridge with my mom. July 28th, dear Mr. Purvis, to the many messages of congratulations that you must have recently received, may I add mine. Perhaps you will remember that about 3.5 years ago, Mr. Nathan, through Mr. Hoover, introduced us. And you very kindly escorted my friend, Miss Wright, and myself around Washington.
That's so where, when it says Mr. Nathan, that's he was a high-ranking bureau agent. He was, he was an SAC, special agent in charge, and I forget which office. But and I also forget his first name, but he was known as Pop Nathan.
Thank you.
And that one didn't have a name on the bottom as you can see. So I don't know how things in his file got out of order, but
yeah, they did. Yeah.
I think there's another one coming up right there.
Yep, right here. Dear yeah. Melbourne, I was coming up the stairs a few minutes ago with a bunch of pinks that I thought from a that I bought from a shabby old lady, and I decided definitely that I would write you a note of congratulations. I remember perfectly writing you once that no matter what turn of events might take place, that I would be so glad when success came to you. That is still quite true, although it was said so many years ago when I was very young little girl, and aggravating one at that. You are a celebrity now, and I want to tell you, whether you believe it or not, that I am very happy for you. I saw Kessie about a month ago, and she said that you will be home soon on vacation. I'm in Florence frequently, and will see you no doubt if you come to the house. You and Kessie were so lovely to St. George last summer in Chicago. He enjoyed it tremendously. Is that St. George? Is that right? I guess. I mean, that's maybe a nickname or something for somebody.
I believe it's St. George.
Melvin.
Yeah, must be.
Melvin, I would hope you be careful. You have such a hazardous job. Roseanne. P.S. I was not just unselfish to buy those pinks. I have always adored them.
What the pinks? Hell are pinks? What the hell
yeah,
is
that's
that?
What I'm wondering.
Flowers, probably.
Probably. It does evoke something else to the more eighth grader in me, but
yeah.
Yes.
Please don't think I'm bold for writing it, but I'm just a little town girl interested in a great masterpiece you've completed. I graduated from high school last year and have entered a beauty culture school. I intend someday to obtain a job in a large city and see the world. A few ambitions which I hope are never discarded. Now I'm sitting here writing you, and I want you to please take a few minutes and answer this letter. Is that, did you block that out?
I don't know if I did.
Illiterate.
I don't know what
it's
that
just
is.
This illiterate letter.
Yeah.
Will you tell me personally this answer? Was the capture and killing of the notorious criminal the greatest thrill of you've ever have so far ever withheld? The greatest thrill you have so far ever withheld. Sorry about that. I won't bore you with any more, but I really want you to answer. I realize you have a lot of letters to write, but no one would be more grateful than I if you will only answer. I'm sending a few clippings, and you can read what they say about you over here. Most sincerely, Mary P. Filler, Orville, Ohio. That one's a good one because it's like, one, she's 18 and writing, and she's like, please tell me the details of your emotions when killing this guy, which is very much true crime-esque yeah. today. People
sure.
yeah. look for those emotions.
Right.
Yeah. I can see that.
We have a poem now. This is actually really fun. I didn't think I would enjoy this as much as I am. How about you guys? You guys think this is funny? I mean,
yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting.
Do I have to it's just one page?
Yeah, it just goes on to that second page right there. Ends right there.
And it's written by Rolla E. Brabham from Los Angeles, California, Cherry Street. What is that word? Sagacity?
Sagacity.
Sagacity? Thank you. To the sagacity and bravery of Melvin H. Purvis and his men, these lines are respectfully dedicated. With a courage born of desperation, he held at bay an entire nation. With blazing guns, he defined them all, and often with his back against the wall. He shot his way out of every trap rather than face the rap. He placed his life in the lap of the gods, and with those cruel blazing rods, went on his way despite the odds. Quote unquote, Dillinger. He burned his fingers. He dyed his hair. He lived for weeks in a hidden lair. So safe, he thought, that none would know when he ventured forth to see a show. And with him went two Delilahs gay, one dressed in red, the other gray, who with their flattery his faith inspired. He didn't know they had been hired to land him in the federal trap, which proves a gangster is but a sap, even Dillinger. What were his thoughts as from day to day he traveled on his ruthless way? Did he for one moment dream that he could win with his mad scheme, predicted on the law of hate that it is better to destroy than to create? No doubt there be those who will look with pity upon this vile crook, and with a melodic, guys, and with modeling agents,
modeling
accents, they will say that he was just a boy who'd gone astray, and we'll forget those brave men that died, that the law might be justified, and to rid our land of this human scourge, that he might no longer state and gorge upon those who tried at least to rid the world of this mad beast, Dillinger. God bless those men who on duty bound snuffed out the life of that vile hound who went about with salivating jaws.
I think it means salivating.
With salivating jaws, and who set at naught his country's laws, an orchard to you or gallant purvis, or rendering to all such distinguished service, and may you always be on the job until you get the entire mob of Dillingers.
All right, well said.
Hand claps to her.
Hand claps.
That's really cool.
What's the date on that one?
That one is...
It didn't have one? Well, no, that's the date that the file, it did something in the file, but I would assume it's probably right there, you know, in 34.
I've just been curious because, I mean, that seemed like that probably for how long, I'm not sure.
Yeah, to write something that quick.
I mean, some people are great at poems. Now, you know, despite me screwing up a couple words in there, you guys, I'm getting really good at reading rhyme because I read my daughter 4 books a night, and it's like Dr. Seuss. I'll read her that tomorrow. Mm. She'll be like, "Who the hell's John Dillinger, Dad?" Okay, here's a couple more. This one's a Catholic girl. It says, "Sent Catholic gift, dear Mr. Purvis. Knowing how exposed you are to danger, I'm enclosing a badge of the Sacred Heart, asking you to kindly keep it in your pocket as a safeguard against harm. As you may see, I'm a Catholic and very much interested in your success and safekeeping. The little badge is an image of a merciful heart of Christ, which cannot but attract a heavenly blessing if carried with reverence. You have my prayers and those of many of my friends. With sincerest wishes, I am very cordially yours, Mary C. Pefferman." That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I would love to get that heart. You know, hold it.
Yeah.
This one is a vision in a dream. You found this one.
Tom. Yes. Okay. It's a strange one. Hey, go back up there. Where is that? Is that it right there?
This one, right? Okay. Hotel Ware, Waycross, Georgia, July 23rd, 1934, the next day. Okay. This was sent the next day. "Dear Mr. Purvis, if you recall, several weeks ago, I wrote to your Chicago officer outlining a vivid dream I had regarding Dillinger. I stated he was in Chicago, uninjured, being cared for in an apartment of one of his women friends. At the time of my dream, her name was familiar, but when I awakened, I could not recall it. I am writing to say if my dream was considered to an extent that your men should hunt Chicago for him by locating this woman, I feel I should be entitled to a very small part of the reward."
Nice try.
Yeah. Okay. "However, I'm more interested in knowing whether my dream was any help. As for your men found him in Chicago uninjured, it looks as though it had some reality. I congratulate your men on getting him. An expression from you would be appreciated. You're very truly yours, Adolphus Blau, Auditor."
Everyone wants a piece.
That is funny, dude. I mean, I should get some of the reward money. I had a dream. Okay.
I had a dream that he was with a girlfriend in Chicago. Wow, that really narrows it down.
Do you want me to read this one too?
Yeah, just the highlight, just the little highlight there.
"Dear Mr. Purvis, I'm writing to you for the following reasons. When Colonel Lindenberg Child was kidnapped, I wrote to him and told him if he would send for me or come and get me, I would be sure to find his child and restore him to he and wife alive. If not, a colored man would find the child, and that the child would not be alive when found because there was too much
ado and public publicity about for the child to be found alive, and it was as I told him. This continues to highlight it. I have a very particular way of doing my work. I never like to be known in any case. If so, my work is not very effective. I always stay in a background and find the man to inform the authorities of his whereabouts and let them get him. I'm very seldom arrest anyone for the best reason to my success in doing the work. Someone must be unknown maneuvering, and it seems to be my work. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will be pleased to work with you if you think you need me, for you have two more men to catch or capture of the same gang of Dillinger. One of them may have to be killed. The other one will give up without very much trouble. Now, I think it best to inform you that I am a mutter.
Mutter.
Todd, do you know what that means?
No.
Mike, since you're old, do you know what that means?
Well, I always bet on mutters at the track, but
this fucking guy, I love it, dude.
Like a medium?
Yeah, I mean a mutter. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I sometimes pass for a foreigner when even it is necessary to do some things. If you are not prejudiced to race or a mutt, maybe. Prejudiced to race and color and need me, I really can help you do what want to do if they are capturing criminals. If you want service regardless to color, I can help you. If you want me to come to you for help, I can give you send me a ticket and $25 so if we cannot agree, I can come back home. You can send the money to the U.S. Marshals so I can get it from him, and that will make me responsible for the money. If I am needed and I remain with you, we can arrange about remuneration.
It means pay.
Yep. I am to receive after I get there. If you want me to come, I'm truly yours, S.W. Bachelor.
Hey, Joe, go back up just real quick to the where he's talking about the Lindbergh kidnapping. And did he say something about that? That he
wrote the colonel.
Okay, he wrote. Well, that's Lindbergh,
right?
And so did he say that he had predicted that the child would be found by a colored man? Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's actually true. So I'd like to see that letter that he sent. Predicting that, because that actually is true.
That's really cool. I didn't know that was true.
That was the politically correct term of the day, but it means an African American.
Those are really cool. Todd, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. Hey, Melvin.
I was just saying, I just got a couple more here.
Yeah, do it.
That I didn't send you. And one is, He's writing Purvis, and he's down in Asheville. I guess that's South Carolina.
That's North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yep.
Because he's talking about Union, South Carolina, where he's from, but that his friend is the police chief in Asheville. And he says, in your checkup of Dillinger's movements following his wounding in Little Bohemia, did you ever run across any trace that he might have been in Western North Carolina? Because this guy thought that he saw Dillinger in North Carolina at that time, right after Little Bohemia. Hmm. And then this is one that I think is kind of unique, in that this is a telegram that somebody sent. And the somebody is the chief of police from South Bend, Indiana. And this is on July 23rd. He sends this telegram, and it says, "Congratulations to you and your department in ridding the nation of John Dillinger, sending officers McCormick and Hansen with bankers to identify Dillinger on Merchant's bank robbery and murder of Officer Wagner."
Yeah, that was the last bank robbery of the Dillinger gang.
So it sounds like they're sending two police officers to see if it is Dillinger.
Yeah, I've never read
that's
that
what
before.
It sounds like. Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I would really love to see what, if South Bend, Indiana actually sent police officers to.
Yeah, I've never seen any official report.
To the morgue, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah, that.
And then this right here is the best one that there is. And so this is August 2nd, 1934. Dear Melvin, received today the cigar which played an important part in the recent apprehension of Dillinger. You and your boys are certainly to be congratulated on the job which you did in this case. As I told John Edgar over the phone, it's especially pleasing to me that he was apprehended under your personal supervision and you worked so hard over the many past months. Here's to wishing you the best success and other members of the gang. And he gives his name and his address. So that guy got Purvis's cigar.
What's his name and address?
Well, I'm not going to give that out over the air because I wonder if the family still has it. Because 5 days later, he sends a second letter to Melvin. And at the very end, he just says, thank you. I didn't answer you right away. But again, he talks about it's an indeed thoughtful of you and John Edgar to send this highly important exhibit to me. I'm certainly pleased and display it at every opportunity. Hmm. So it's kind of weird that they, and the guy actually lives in Pennsylvania.
So this,
why Purvis, you know, probably not even a week after that, sent this guy the cigar that he
used. The cigar.
That's what they're saying in these letters.
You think it's smokable still?
I don't know. I'm more worried about why Melvin didn't finish it. I mean, you know, let a good cigar go to waste.
That's you, Stuart. That's not.
I wonder if that family still has that cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know what the long term life of cigars is, but you never know.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's falling apart.
Would think so. Yeah.
I mean, you could have it vacuum sealed.
Yeah, you could put it in a humidor, I guess, and if you kept it at the right humidity, it might. I don't know. I'd really like to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd, hand claps to you, sir.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
The first ever emoji we figured out today, too. Yeah. That was cool. That was really interesting, dude. And we really appreciate the research that you're doing.
And there's more. There's more letters out there. There's hundreds more.
Yes. Well, I think something about that we can take from those letters is all the adoration that Purvis was getting and all the attention clearly that these folks were seeing in the media. Was something that just roiled J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, he couldn't stand that Purvis was getting more media and more attention and was more popular, frankly, than Hoover. That, you know, it wasn't long after that Hoover started running Purvis out of the bureau, and he was successful in doing it.
Great. Good history lesson, too, because I forgot about that with the fact that he ran him out after, and then ultimately, Purvis killed himself, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, if you want to know more about Purvis, where would they hear more about Purvis, Joe?
I was just wondering, is that on the Back in Crime podcast?
That, you're definitely right. I think it's called Case 16, The Original G-Man.
Oh, The Original G-Man. Case 16, The Original G-Man on the Back in Crime podcast. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys, for coming back. I feel like we're almost at 10,000 listens, which is a great number. I mean, we've been doing this want to say we have things coming up. We'd like to announce obviously that there's an event on May 31st. It's going to be at Crown Hill. No, damn it.
Crown Point
at the jail. They're having a Dillinger Days thing and they're bringing us up to talk. So tickets will be going on sale somewhere and somehow. I'm not privy to that information just yet, but they're going to be in short supply. There's only going to be a couple dozen of these tickets available for kind of the pre stuff before our talks. And then it sounds like they're going to be able to fit a lot more people into our talks. And we're going to be at 11 a.m. up there at Crown Point.
Okay. Sounds awesome.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see y'all there. Be excited.
I got to add one thing.
Please.
Just because I like all the letters that Melvin was getting, but John's still getting love letters and panties dropped at his grave. So,
to this day.
Yeah, to this day, yes.
Yeah.
Casanova through time, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Casanova I just had to through throw time. That
no. we can't forget that.
The legend lives.
That's right.
New Dillinger gang. Again, anything else before we go, guys?
No.
Great.
Great episode. Awesome.
No, that was good stuff.
We will see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Have a good
one. See you
later. And remember, see you later. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.